Okay, I've probably asked the question before, but who has really fond memories of going camping as a kid? Anybody? Okay, me too. Some of my best memories were camping. We would go up to Highlight, to Chisholm, and enjoy time up there as a family with other families. Now you can barely do that unless you know 6 months in advance you're going and then be on the website the second it opens. Some of my best childhood memories are there. Collecting wood and building fires. You know, young boys love to burn things. Shooting our slingshots. Some vermin did not survive our campouts. Learning to play and practice different card games. Don't worry, we never gambled. If we did, it was with pistachio shells. But also swimming in the reservoir. Sometimes that was good, sometimes it wasn't, depending on what was growing in there. But my favorite thing, and this is going to seem really random, but my favorite thing to do was to skip rocks. Something I really enjoyed about the whole process. When I was young, my dad taught me how to skip rocks, and then every time we went camping, the goal for me was to find the perfect rock and go skipping. Bob, you'll appreciate this. There were a few times where we went camping, and you know who'd skip rocks with me? Rob. We'd go skip rocks together. I loved it. I loved the calmness of the water, the mindless activity, trying to see how many skips you could get. And over the course of probably, I think I've been skipping stones for almost 30 years. I know I'm a young man, but I started skipping when I was really young. I think I've become quite the expert. But what you learn skipping stones is that you can have perfect form, perfect crystal, still water, the most velocity ever, but it all comes down to the rock, to the stone that you pick. And at Highlight, it was pretty hard to find perfect stones. You always had jagged, weird rocks that someone shipped in from somewhere. But occasionally I could skip those, but the goal was to find the perfect stone. A little side note, in our council meeting on Tuesday, the guys were poking at me because this is kind of an important message that I'm giving. It's being evaluated to see if I become a commissioned pastor or not. And they said they were going to place strategic hecklers in the congregation this morning. And I said, I'm not worried. I'll have a bucket of rocks. So no tomatoes. But what you learn skipping stones is not everything works. This one for me is too big. Can't hurl it enough, you know? Let's see, this one my daughter picked. I don't think I could skip it either. Too round. And this one, beautiful, but same problem. Can't do anything with it. So on Saturday, we went down to the river and we wanted to look for the perfect stone. Pretty close. Uniform in thickness. Almost perfectly round. Fits great in my hand. And it's smooth. This baby can go. You know, certain rocks are oblong, certain rocks are maybe a little bit too fat. It's all about the perfect stone. And what we read in 1 Peter chapter 2 is he talks about a perfect stone. He also quotes Isaiah, and we'll get to it. He says, Jesus is chosen and precious. A cornerstone. But for many, he was a stone that was rejected. It wasn't quite what they were looking for. Didn't quite fit the mold. It didn't fit their standards. But what we know about the Scripture and what we know about God is that the Father has perfect standards. and Jesus is the perfect stone. Sent by the Father. The Father has perfect standards. Jesus is the perfect stone. He perfectly fits God's standard. Better than this, but like this. The perfect stone. One that you can build your life on. And what Jesus, the perfect stone, offers you and offers me is first he offers us life and a firm foundation to build upon. I would encourage you, maybe from, you could do it from now until the end of the year, to work your way through the Psalms and how often you hear God referred to as a refuge and strength, a stronghold, a firm foundation, a rock. The perfect stone, Jesus, the perfect stone, he offers you life. And he offers you a firm foundation to build your life upon. However, it's not a catch, it's an and. And he calls you to be a part of what God is building. He calls you and me, brothers and sisters, to be a part of a very specific plan and specific purpose. And we'll get to it. So quick overview of what we'll talk about this morning. Who is this stone, Jesus? He is a cornerstone. He's a living stone. And we'll get to this. It seems hard to wrestle with right now, but he is a stumbling stone for some. This is who he is. This is how Peter defines him. We'll also talk about who are you? Who am I? What Peter says is you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, set apart for a purpose. So have I teased enough? Are you in or are you out? It doesn't matter. We're going that way anyways. So let's look together at 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 4. I'll be reading out of the ESV. It says this, as you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. Think about those words, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, this is God speaking, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. And we respond with, thanks be to God. So who is this perfect stone, Jesus? First, Jesus is the cornerstone. We might be asking, what is a cornerstone? And Catherine did a great job of laying that out for our kids up here. It's a practice in ancient architecture. It goes all the way back to Egypt and to Mesopotamia. The cornerstone was the first stone laid, and it was massive. It was expertly and meticulously carved and crafted. It was as perfect as you could get it. It was done with intention. The reason being is it stabilized the entire structure. Whatever was being built, its strength depended on the cornerstone. It was the main foundation. Just like you would not level some dirt and start building a house with no concrete foundation. It makes no sense. Your house would not stand. The cornerstone was placed first. Huge, precise. It stabilized everything. And it set the standard for every stone laid afterwards. So as you cut the next stone in the building, you would measure it and match it to the cornerstone. It's the standard. So when Peter says Jesus is the cornerstone, this is the image he wants you to have, that Jesus is immense in his greatness. He's huge. We can't comprehend all the time the greatness of Christ. He's also precise. What Peter says is he is chosen and precious. And if he's chosen by the Father, what we know about the Father is his standard is perfection. Chosen, precious, precise, perfect. Jesus is first. Just like the cornerstone is laid first, we cannot live a life that glorifies God. We cannot live a life that leads to life if Christ is not first. Jesus brings stability. I had a pastor friend who used to tell me, I really think all things would get worked out if people would just truly seek Jesus. He brings stability. Jesus also sets the standard for us. Just like the cornerstone, every stone is measured against it. Jesus sets the standard. So when we ask, how should we live if we are people of faith? We look to the standard of Christ, knowing that we will never meet it, yet we continue to strive for it to bring God honor and glory. We measure ourselves to Jesus. It's good because it reminds us that we'll never get there, but it's also good because it spurs us on to keep improving. Also, the cornerstones in historical times were blessed or anointed. Entire communities, when the cornerstone was laid, would hold ceremonies blessing the cornerstone and anointing it. And think about Christ, blessed, the anointed one. He is the cornerstone, chosen and precious. Yet, what we read is that that stone, the builders rejected. And if you know anything about the life of Jesus, he showed up on the scene. He brought a gospel of love and restoration, making wrong things right. And the religious elite could not take it. And they sent him to his death, rejected. Think about that. Chosen by God, rejected by man. And how easy it can be for me and maybe for you to judge those in that time. And yet each and every day, in small ways or in big ways, we reject the cornerstone. We want to build our own life our own way. We want to build on our own foundation. We want to seek our own plans in our own purposes, thinking that we are better or that we know better, thinking that we understand what the real standard is. And the reality is Jesus is the cornerstone. He sets standards. the standard. To quote the prophet Isaiah from Isaiah 28:16, he says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid as a foundation in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste." Psalm 118:22, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." Because the supreme builder, our Father in heaven, has set him in place. Jesus, the cornerstone, sets the standard. So who is Jesus? He is the cornerstone. He sets the standard for you and for me and everybody willing to follow. He sets the standard for the world. Some will say yes and some will say no. But Jesus also is a living stone. And initially you read this and you think, well, what does this mean? What does it mean to be a living stone? I want to give you some of Jesus' words himself. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Okay, Jesus is promising life, or that he brings life. John 10:10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly." John 11:25-26, Jesus said to her, this is Mary, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." I love the question he poses. Do you believe this? So what does it mean that Jesus is a living stone? It means that he is a foundation that when you build your life upon him, you experience true life. The living stone brings life to all those who build upon him. And the reality is that there are many other foundations in our world that you can build your life on. Or many other meanings that you can build your life on. But all those other foundations lead to death. A simple Google search and you'll find really interesting responses to what is the meaning of life. Or a question I posed to the Google machine is, what should I build my life upon? It responded with things like, here are the 8 pillars of wellness. Here are 7 ways to bring more meaning to your life. Here are 34 ways that people are making life more exciting. They all promised some type of foundation that would bring life. And the recommendations were things like, invest in your career. Build your life on your career and you'll find meaning. Or build your life on financial security and you will find meaning and rest. Or build your life on seeking social standing or status and it will fill that hole you have within you. Or build your life on these practices so that you can be healthy and live a really long time. That's how you'll find meaning. Or just blanket spirituality. Many of these articles said, be spiritual. All the foundations promise something, and at times we're drawn to them. We want to be financially secure. We want to be healthy. We want to have status or standing. We want to have a good career and make a name for ourselves and retire well and live a life of leisure. And we're drawn or pulled towards the foundations, but they all offer death. Everyone that travels the road apart from Jesus finds that at the end, they're exactly the same way as when they started. Empty. In our current time, many people are searching for meaning. meaning in the meaningless. A Gallup study said that 29% of adults were diagnosed with depression or classified as depressed in 2023. Pew Research did a global study and found that rates of depression and anxiety globally have increased by 50% from 1990 to 2017. People are searching for meaning, and what they're finding is that the meaning that they've searched for is meaningless. They're not building their life on a living stone. The stone that they're building on is dead. Life can be found in the living stone of Jesus and only there. Like I said, like we quoted from Scripture, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. So many people are not living abundant life. We read that verse and think it means heaven. Well, we'll have abundant life in heaven. Jesus means now. You can have abundant life now, and that doesn't mean that you're wealthy and that you're healthy. It means that you'll experience the goodness of God on this side of heaven. Again, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. The living stone offers life. All the other foundations are cheap imitations that lead to death. You might feel good for a little while, but it won't lead to life. Jesus, the living stone, offers a foundation that brings life, both here and now and in the days to come. Third, Jesus is a stumbling stone? Jesus is a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, is what the scripture says. I would say it this way, for those who deny, disbelieve, and don't obey, Jesus will be a stumbling stone or a rock of offense. For those who deny him, for those who disobey him, for those who just don't believe him, Jesus will be a stumbling stone or a rock of offense. In the book of Isaiah, he says it this way, and he will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense, a rock of stumbling to both the house of houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken. Jesus is a stumbling stone. People struggle with the thought of perfection and exclusivity. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the foundation. There's no other way to God except to build on me. And in our modern times, we hate that. We say things like, there's many ways to God. It's not singular, it's not exclusive, or God loves me exactly as I am and I can stay exactly as I am. No, God desires perfection. And the scary thing is you can't be it. The beautiful thing is that Jesus is it. And if you claim the living stone, the cornerstone, you have it. You have perfection. You stand before God perfect, clean, holy, good, and righteous. But there's no other way except through him. And people don't like being told that. We want to believe that there's many ways, that there's many paths, but there is a singular way. 1 Corinthians 1:18 would say this, that the word of the cross is folly for those who are perishing. But for those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God, meaning some are going to trip over Jesus, and some are going to build upon him. Who will you be? constantly tripping over him? That's not the way. There's got to be another one. I don't believe that that's right. There's got to be something else. Or will you submit and say, I will build my life upon you? That's what makes him a stumbling stone. You can't get around Jesus. You either trip over him or you build on top of him. There's no other choice. What will we do? Will we build our lives on the perfect stone or just keep tripping over him? So we know who Jesus is, a cornerstone who sets the standard, a living stone who provides a foundation that will bring you and give you life, and a stumbling stone that we can either trip over or build upon. Who are you? Peter says it this way: you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. Verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. So who are you? You're set apart. We're not supposed to look like everyone else. For those of us that claim Christ, we are to look different and be different. A chosen race, a holy nation. For those, again, that claim Christ and believe in Jesus, you are chosen and set apart, not to be like the world, but to be something otherworldly, to be like Jesus in every way as is possible within you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Set apart, and you are called to a specific purpose. Set apart and called. So if we take a survey of our text, there's a few things that we see. It says in verse 5, you yourselves are like living stones being built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices. Okay, these are just a few of the things that we are called to. I'll list them right here. It's kind of small, I apologize. It looked bigger on my computer. What are you called to? Living stones. Basically, be like Jesus. He is the living stone. Peter says, you are to yourselves be like living stones. Seek the plans and purposes of Christ. Seek to live like Jesus lived. That's the basis of 1 John 2:6. For those that claim Christ, they have to walk in the same manner in which Jesus walked. I've used this all the time. It doesn't mean that you have a specific strut. It means that you do what Jesus did. Second, you are being built into a spiritual house, the body of Christ, brothers and sisters united together to bring light to a really dark world. Look around. It doesn't take long to see how dark this place is. A holy priesthood. What do priests do? They care for others and they share good news. You're called to that. You are set apart and called to be the hands and feet and the voice. You're called to offer spiritual sacrifices, or I would say to lay down your life. What we're told in the scriptures is that your life is not your own. It was purchased through the blood of Jesus. So give it back. To summarize it all, I would simply put it this way. You and I, friends, are called to be building materials, not the builder. Notice what Peter says. He says, the stone that the builders rejected. We're not the builders. Back then they tried to build. and they rejected Jesus. There are times now where we try to build, and in so doing, we reject Jesus. Friends, submit to being building materials that God himself will work into a spiritual house. God is doing something, and you are a part of the project, not the project manager. And it is beautiful to be a stone. Many stones together build something amazing and beautiful. Look at the cathedrals throughout the world, stone by stone, precisely cut. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, through sanctification, you will be cut into a stone and used to be built into something beautiful. But you can't be that if you're trying to be the builder. God is the builder. Jesus is the blueprint. Our call is to fall into place. And the place that he has for us is beautiful. So friends, who's Jesus? He's a cornerstone. The standard of what we all should seek and follow. He is a living stone. He offers life. He's a stumbling stone. You can't get around him. You either trip on him or build on him. And who are you? You're set apart and you're called. Some of you are sitting here today believing that God can do nothing with you. False. I never thought I'd stand here. How could God use me? You know, you look at your life and it's really easy to find all the areas where you failed and to think God can't do something with that stone, me. But he can. And so what he is inviting you to today is to be like him, a living stone. And it costs you nothing. He's not going to charge you. It's not about being good enough. It's about submitting. So my hope for you is, will you submit to the master builder and be a living stone? Let's pray. Father God, you are good. Your love endures forever. Your faithfulness has met each and every one of us. You are a faithful God who has faithfully taken care of his children. Some today don't believe it. It's okay. You will meet them there. Some today need Jesus. Today, my prayer is that they would claim him and that they would become a living stone. Help us all to live into our purpose as those set apart for your plans. Thank you for your word. It is a blessing to us. May we go and do. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to charge you, if you would stand, with the end of this chunk of scripture. Peter says this, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners or strangers and exiles on this planet, on this earth, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, the other foundations, which are at war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles or the unbeliever as honorable. Build on the right foundation so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of his visitation. If you seek to be a living stone, others will see, and maybe they will become a living stone too. I only have a few, but after the service, if you would like to take a rock, some of these I really wanted to skip and I didn't. You can come grab a rock out of the bucket and place it somewhere that every time you grab it, you're reminded of the cornerstone, the living stone, and the stumbling stone who is turning you into a living stone. Now to him, brothers and sisters, who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask, think, or imagine, to him who can turn you into a living stone, be the glory in this church and throughout the world, now and forever. Amen.